This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Inside the 8 p.m. hour on The Fan in New York. 888-808-1019. Actually, don't call right now because joining us in about 12 to 13 minutes, Nick Bumgarner, who writes about the NFL and the NFL draft for The Athletic, will tap in to talk about the combine and all the smoke screens going up for who doesn't want Cam Ward and what Shedeur Sanders came off arrogant, what he did and didn't do at the combine. Yeah, whatever. You need a quarterback and you can draft a quarterback. You don't pass on quarterbacks in the draft. Anyway, I've got two Giants QB calls. I've got two Yankees calls to get in before we break and do that. Kevin is in Lawrence, New York on The Fan. Go for it, Kevin.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
I just don't understand why, because Louis Teal goes down, so now Marcus Stroman becomes a lock. Why isn't the difference between Stroman and, let's say, Will Warren worth an owner or not?
He's just a veteran. He's just been there. His contract, he's making 18 mil. They're going to give him the nod. They can't move him. Will Warren, I'm glad you said his name, though. Will Warren actually becomes like a real part of this team, and like, you know, you're going to see him. We saw some spot starts last year. Now he's one. I mean, we don't even know if Clark Schmidt is going to be ready to ramp up and be on the opening day. You know, we don't know. He's potentially one pitch away from being in the rotation.
And can I ask one more question?
Yep.
Who's the leadoff hitter on the Yankees?
Well, you know, right now it could be anybody. Thanks for the call, Kevin. It could be Jazz Chisholm. It could be Jason Dominguez. It could be Cody Bellinger. It could be Dom Smith. Who knows right now? These are questions that they'll have to answer, and I just think that they're going to have a few different answers. There's going to be multiple choice. Take your pick. Alex is in New Haven next on The Fan. You got it, Alex.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
It's funny that guy just asked the question about the leadoff hitter, because I was going to mention that. And I'm on my laptop right now. I'm on baseballreference.com, and I have three tabs pulled up: Cody Bellinger, Jason Dominguez, and Dom Smith. And actually Spencer Jones, too. There's four. Because Grace got me thinking about Spencer Jones, but I agree with you.
Pull up Trent Grisham, too, while you're at it. Get Trent Grisham up there as well.
All right, Trent Grisham, because... I'll say this right now. I forgot he was on the team. Cody Bellinger has the best on-base percentage. It was 400 in 2019. Yeah, 2019 was 400. Okay, so Trent Grisham, his best WAR year was with the Padres, 2021, 3.3. And his OBP is consistently in the low 300. It was 352 in 2020. That was a short season. 327.
Yeah, they're going to bat him ninth, but I was just on Baseball Reference with all the same tabs open looking at how many games guys played in left field.
Well, I like Don Smith and as your DH because of the experience, and he hasn't had much experience with a solid team. Like with Washington, he was with a poor team, you know? They didn't play well, and
he's a huge question mark, bro. He's a – like, if all right, it's one thing for Belly and Goldie to be question marks and Wells and Volpe. Like, Dom Smith as your opening day DH is like, if we must.
Yeah. I mean, what's the alternative? I guess Trent Grisham.
Ben Rice.
Ben Rice.
And your thoughts on Spencer Jones?
He needs more time because I was looking at his stats. I was listening to Grace. I'm like, well, she has a good point. But then he's only been in Double-A and he struck out 200 times in 124 games. 544 plate appearances, 200 strikeouts.
He needs more seasoning. He needs more reps at that level. He hasn't dominated that level.
Exactly. But Jason Dominguez has. So I like him, but he can't lead off. I like Cody as your leadoff. And it was a great season last year, man.
It's over. Thanks for the call, Alex. Last year is over. Don't tell me about last year. Don't tell me the American League is East. Don't tell me they always make the playoffs. I do expect them to make the playoffs. But don't tell me anything about last year's path being a cakewalk and compare it to this year. You know, last year is over. I know Giants fans are hoping like, hey, last year is over. Hopefully we can be better. And you know what? I was talking about this in a similar regard. Last year is over for the Giants. It was a miserable season. They should have had the number one pick. But you know what? They found a way to screw that up. If you trade what they're saying you got to trade for, I'll have the conversation with Nick Bumgarner. What they're saying you're going to have to give up to get the number one pick, that would be stupid. That would be foolish. Stay where you are, Giants fans, and hope against hope that this year is different. Just because on paper they have the strongest, toughest strength of schedule, just because on paper they have the longest Super Bowl odds, what does that mean? That is going off of last year. A lot can change year to year. Eric is in Lindenhurst on the Fan. Donald will come to you next.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
You know, talking.
Big fan. Big fan. I just want to talk about the Giants and what I really think that they need to do. I think if Cam Ward's not there at three, which I don't think he will be, they have to take the
best defensive player available, whether it's Hunter, Carter, that kid Mason Graham.
Is that your blinker? Is that your blinker or metronome? What is that?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. That is my blinker. I'm in my bed.
So they have. You're saying thanks for the call, Eric. They have to take the best defensive player. Why? It's like we had the other, you know, young Alex Allen and Lakewood. They got to take Abdul Carter. Why? How many points is that going to score you? They just traded and gave $150 million to Brian Burns. They already have Dexter Lawrence. They used the top pick on Kayvon. That's not enough? No, you know, they drafted OC when they had, like, all right, like we've heard that. They drafted JPP when we've heard that. They need a damn quarterback. Donald is in the Poconos on the Fan before we break here. Go for it, Donald.
Thank you for taking my call. If one of the quarterbacks do not drop to the Giants, I would like them to take the third pick. Just move back. Give me more picks. I need bodies. I got a lot of holes to fill. The best case scenario, 7 wins, 6 wins. We're going to be in the same position that we are in this year. We can't compete in the division. Just give me more picks. And next year, I'll have picks to move up.
Thanks for the call, Donald. I don't know what's going on with you guys. Hopefully my guest will have a strong connection and we'll be okay. Yeah, I do like the idea, but also, like, if Cam Ward doesn't go one and Shedeur Sanders don't go second and the Giants are sitting there at third, why not draft Travis Hunter? Why not take your 34th overall pick and trade up? I think it's going to be easier to trade back. But then what? Like you're gonna trade back and wait for what? The quarterback to fall? I don't know. I just think like if you do that, like depends how far back can you trade? It's gonna rely on Joe Shane's relationships. I don't know what relationships he has. He has relationships with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I also think that a lot of people are sleeping on this that the Jets can easily trade up like the Giants can.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, and I think that is what a lot of people might be sleeping on. Because if the Jets believe that Cam is their guy, and everyone seems to think Cam is the clear-cut number one, if the Jets probably can put a more attractive package together than the Giants can. So I think that's important, that like for people to realize that it's not just the Giants that need a quarterback, it's also the Jets.
And the Jets regime is coming in literally with nothing to lose, haven't lost a game yet. Throw everything out there to get your quarterback and start your regime with the Holy Trinity that the Giants are looking for. You'll have the GM, head coach, quarterback starting day one.
Right, and I think a lot of people also, maybe they think that the new regime, Muji and Glenn, should kind of take it easy and not go like all in per se. And I disagree with that. If they think Cam Ward can be the guy, then I don't mind them going all in and trading a ton of capital to get your guy. If you think Cam's the guy for the Jets, then I don't care. Then go get your guy and put your stamp onto the organization.
Hey, Cam Ward has said so much. He said he feels like he could be the missing piece. Bernie's in Rockland. Before we go to break, tell me something.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm a baseball fan since 1946.
Good.
I'm 87 years old. But I can tell you now, the biggest problem the Yankees have is the manager. He's the worst manager that I've seen in my entire career.
Thanks for the call, Bernie. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I said, tell me something. Don't tell me that. Boone just got an extension. He's not going anywhere. He's got a ton of problems to deal with right now. We've moved on from that. Like, Aaron Boone is the manager of your New York Yankees. He's got a ton of wins. He is the leader of these young guys. I mean, he's attached at the hip to Brian Cashman and Aaron Judge. This era of the Yankees, you know, he's not going anywhere. But, yeah, I cannot wait to see what he does with the leadoff spot. I can't wait to see what he does with left field. I can't wait to see what he does with third base and DH. He's got a ton of things on his plate to deal with. And if one more starter throws a pitch the wrong way, then I can't wait to see what he does with the rotation either. And that's a lot to handle and a lot to manage for Aaron Boone. 888-808-1019. Joining us next is Nick Bumgarner. He knows a lot more about the NFL and the draft than I do. So I'm going to ask him a lot of the questions, some of the things you've already heard about, from the Jets drafting up, the Giants, what they should do. We're coming off the combine, and there is a lot of smoke screens out there about who is who, what is what people are thinking, what people are feeling. And I just know that the draft is a competition, and you know, this is poker. Some guys are bluffing, some guys have a poker face. We don't know who's going to be where. Michael Penix Jr. went top 10 to the Falcons last year. Nobody had that on their mock draft. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're about to talk some NFL football coming off the combine, getting ready for the draft. Joining us right now, Nick Bumgarner from The Athletic, who covers the NFL and the NFL draft. Are you there, Nick?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for joining us. It's going well. There's a lot of conversation here in New York about these quarterbacks because we have two quarterback needy teams. And something I was saying is that when you have this draft class that we're hearing all these things about, it's not a deep draft class. And
right.
You know, nobody's sure about these two quarterbacks paired with the free agent market. And obviously in the trade market now, Matthew Stafford's gone. And you have names like Sam Darnold. Who'd you just say?
Rodgers. Another one there.
Aaron Rodgers, another great one. So let's start there. Two former Jets quarterbacks, right? The conversation around Rodgers, right? Before we found out that Stafford was going to stay in L.A., people were saying, well, you know, the Rams could be a player for Stafford and Davante Adams. What are your thoughts about where we are with Rodgers, rather? Where we are with Rodgers at age 41, and then obviously his sidekick Davante Adams potentially coming with him, if that is even something that's going to happen, because the Jets are now looking to trade him as well.
Right. I mean, to me, he's about done here. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, 41. And if I want to look back here to the year before, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been struggling since before he left the Packers. I think that's the thing that people just, you know, the Jets just did not care when they made that trade. You know, his last year plus with Green Bay was not good. I think he's about done. I do. I don't know how much left he has. I know that he'd like to think otherwise, I'm sure, and he's a competitor and all that. But if I'm the Giants, I don't know how you do that. I mean, you know, Shane and Daboll are fighting for their job. You know, I think an investment in a younger player at this point would probably be better, or an investment in somebody else. Like you mentioned, Sam Darnold. You know, I mean, if you want to do something different, I just don't know if Rodgers is the guy to do this, especially with, I mean, forget all the other stuff he brings to the table off the field, all that other stuff. If none of that existed, I still don't know if he's got enough left. I just think he might be about done. And, you know, so if you're New York, if you're the Giants, you really got to take a hard look at these quarterbacks at the top. And then you also got to take a hard look at a guy like Darnold, I think. So we'll see how it goes. But that's the tricky part, is these quarterbacks are not a slam dunk this year and like they were last year.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end, especially right here in New York. As soon as you think it's over, it's like, nope. Now Giants fans are like, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy for a year to be our no. I think you should learn from your neighbors and bypass on all that Aaron Rodgers brings. And you mentioned a great point about the Packers. I don't know how many times I got on here and talked about Mark Murphy and how the Packers were done with him. They were so done. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. And there are so many Jets fans that weren't done with him here. They wanted him back.
Right.
And they pointed to his stats. And I'm like, yeah, well, he was stat padding at the end of the year with losses. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi, all they had to do was look at the film and say, this is over. We don't need this guy. So I think Aaron Rodgers, there's nowhere for him to be a starting quarterback in this league. There's enough young guys. There's enough guys coming in with the draft. Like, I don't think there's anywhere that they are going to bring on a 41-year-old headache that Aaron Rodgers can be. I think he's going to be waiting in the wings. I think he's going to just hang tight somewhere until somebody gets hurt and then hope that he can come in and only play half a season or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a contender, and that's what he should be doing.
I hadn't thought about that. I mean, that's probably not wrong. I mean, somebody asked me this last night on a different show about, you know, Rodgers, and I was like, you know, I don't think he's going to play this year. I just don't see where he would fit. Like you said, I think there's too many other guys, be it young guys or be it situations. Other teams have situations that they're either they like their situation or they're okay with waiting another year, right, and seeing what happens maybe in another year when it's a little bit better. I could see him doing what you just said, though, waiting it out and just, you know, being annoying on all these radio shows and talk shows for a couple of months, and then if somebody gets hurt, boom. But, you know, when the season opens, I'm not sure he's going to be on a team.
Yeah, he wasn't even nominated for Comeback Player of the Year this year, I don't think. So he's got to play the Joe Flacco role. He's got to sit on his couch. Maybe, I don't know, he doesn't have any kids. Maybe find some kids to throw with and wait on that call and then get that call and do what, you know, Flacco did for the Browns. That's win right. Some games, lead them to the playoffs, and that'll be Aaron Rodgers' way to ride off into the sunset.
Well, there you go. You go play for the Browns. I mean, that could be, you know, they need a quarterback.
No, but that, wow. Right now, right? That might be fortuitous.
Yeah,
the Browns are going to go with Bailey Zappe and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And eventually, once Bailey Zappe goes down, they're going to say, we can't do it with DTR anymore. Aaron Rodgers, come on down.
You could see it, right? I mean, the Browns are also in need, right? And that's the tricky part, again, is there's just not that many guys, you know, out there right now, which is probably going to drive up Sam Darnold's price too. With the Jets, you mentioned too, I almost wonder if they would be better off waiting. You know, they signed Tyrod, right? I think there's some guys that you could just bridge and get through this year. You're probably not going to be very good. Let's get through to next year where there's better quarterbacks at the top of the draft and see what you can do there. That would almost be my bet if I were the Jets. Giants, you know, I feel like they kind of got to take one right now.
Yeah, I agree. Let's put a pin in the Tyrod Taylor conversation and what the Jets are going to do. I had a caller mention that, like, nobody's talking about Sam Darnold. I think it was Richie in Queens, and no one's talking. I'm like, it's not that no one's talking about Sam Darnold. It's just that Jets fans are completely out on paying him coming back. And then Giants fans, why would this regime of Shane and Dable put all that money? I mean, I know they were willing to put that money on Matthew Stafford, but that's a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback that would be here for the next like 3 years and be done. I don't think that they're going to pivot and put the money out for Sam Darnold, but I think there's definitely suitors for him. The Raiders, from the beginning, I said the Raiders, as an option for Sam Darnold and somebody else, because he's going to be the top free agent quarterback. I don't like Russell Wilson where he's at. I don't like Justin Fields or Jameis Winston or Gardner Minshew or Marcus Mariota, as we start to get into those, are the Carson Wentzes of it all.
The weeds there, yeah.
What do you think about Sam Darnold's market? When you're up there, like, somebody's going to pay you. Somebody's going to land him, and maybe for a steal because he didn't have the best last two games of the season.
Right. Yeah, and I think that changes a lot, actually. You know, the finish of the season, I think, cost him quite a bit of money, because if you remember back before that, like a week before that, people were losing their mind over Sam Darnold, and then it ended, and it was like, okay, that looked like the Sam Darnold that we remember from, you know, years ago. So I'm not ruling out the idea that he's back in Minnesota, quite frankly. I'm not ruling out the idea that they figure it out. You know, I don't know what, you know, the whole plan there is. I think they like to have options the whole time. But like you said, the Raiders could also be a choice there. You know, some of these other teams that are just so desperate and looking at the quarterback market and saying, what do we do here? I agree with you on the New York teams, though. I don't know how the Giants do that with Darnold. And the Jets, yeah, I mean, that'd be very weird. But again, it's brand new regime. It's new everything. I think if you look back on Sam Darnold's early time with the Jets, we can make a case for, you know, them not really helping him. You know, maybe in this case, it'd be a little bit different. He's older. He's grown up. We've seen quarterbacks, you know, get better with age. Jared Goff in Detroit's a great example of that. So it's not impossible, you know, for that to happen with Sam. But, you know, it's going to be tricky. And I don't know what the market is for him. I think that's going to be very interesting to see what the first offer is really even on him. Because I think mid-season or even like three-quarters of the way through, it seemed like people were really talking about he was going to get a ton of money. And then when it ended, that talk seemed like it cooled a little bit. So I'm very curious to see how that goes. And, you know, this is a really tricky spot right now for teams that don't have a quarterback because there's just not anything there. And it's really not, you know, if you didn't address this last year like everybody told you to, it was going to be a problem for you. And right now there's a couple teams looking at that.
Yeah, I think he could still go out there and get the Daniel Jones contract. See, it all comes back to New York. It always comes back to East Rutherford and Meadowlands. So, you know, back to Tyrod Taylor, who was competing with Daniel Jones not too long ago. Tyrod Taylor, they've said, you know, the Jets are comfortable going into the season with him. He's under contract, mm-hmm. and if he's their starting quarterback to start the year, then so be it. But Nevin Shapiro out of Miami, the famous booster, floated a rumor that the Jets might be interested in Cam Ward. And now there are more people out there saying that the Jets might be interested in trading to get that number one pick to draft him. But we're also hearing the same about the Giants. Let's talk about Cam Ward, and then we'll get into Shador Sanders. Mm-hmm. I think Cam Ward... Go for it.
No, I mean, Cam Ward to me is QB1 here. And, you know, in the draft, I'm not sure it's, frankly, actually that close, to be quite honest with you, based on everything we heard last week at the combine and everything else that you kind of see on tape. I mean, you know, if you really look at this thing and peel it all down, you know, Cam Ward's a kid that came into college as a wing T quarterback with no experience and, you know, no really chance at all at an incarnate word. And all he did was take off. I mean, every single year he's gotten better. He got better at Washington State. He jumped over to Miami and immediately hit the ground running and had one of the best offenses in college football last year against a much better and much more talented schedule than Shador Sanders really ever saw. You know, I think the quarterback sort of elevation here in development with the track that he's on, I think can hold for Cam Ward. So I think if you get him with a good quarterback coach in a good situation, and frankly, I like Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll can work with quarterbacks. He's never really had a chance to. They're young guys anyway, other than Daniel Jones in New York. So I'm curious to see if they could get him and what that would work out. And the same thing with the Jets. I think they could make that work too. So I thought about both those teams for him. I think at this point, as it seems more and more likely, I don't think Tennessee is going to want to do this. People have said Cleveland might be interested in a quarterback, but I really think you're going to have to go up to one to get it. And, you know, it's going to have to be Cam Ward probably. I don't think I would do it for Sanders, but Ward, I think, is probably the one guy in this class that's worth, you know, a top 10 pick on. One would make me nervous, and I think that all the baggage that comes with that, you know, is going to make me nervous because there's still a lot to prove for Cam. You know, both he and Shador, you know, are guys that aren't exactly bust-proof, I don't think. They haven't really proven enough yet, so there's a lot.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Approve, but I do like Cam Ward better in the long run, both, you know, in terms of talent and in terms of everything we've seen so far from him in college.
Yeah, I do too. I remember watching that Florida game live, and then I just went on YouTube and watched the highlights, and I'm like, that was a game where I felt like he really arrived on the national scene. And you kind of forget, like, Miami was undefeated for a little while, and like the U was back, and you know, I forget that press conference he had. I forget what he said, but like, this guy was leading the charge. He was the face of it. And I think he's ready to be the face of a franchise. I joked before about how none of us know what's going to happen. And Michael Penix Jr. went, you know, to the Falcons. And now we hear the story about like Raheem Morris going to Washington and it being raining out and him being unaffected and throwing the football and Raheem Morris playing middle linebacker to, you know, get a feel for the ball whizzing by him. And, you know, that's how they fell in love with Michael Penix Jr. We don't know who's going to fall in love with Cam Ward, but I also joked about Penix and the Falcons. I'm like, I think they got enough calls from people saying, hey, we want to trade up. And they realized it wasn't the top three quarterbacks. It wasn't Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. People were trying to trade up to get Penix. And so they said, why don't we just take him, even after paying Kirk Cousins all that money? So, like, I think there's a world here where, like, I think the Giants got to do something like that. I think the Giants got to pay for somebody. They got to bring somebody in, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Justin Fields. I don't think it'll be Sam Darnold. I think they got to pay for a veteran to come in here and use their pick, maybe trade up to one and get Cam Ward. But why wouldn't the Titans just take him? Like Will Levis and Mason Rudolph? Mason Rudolph, I think, is going to be gone. But like they've been swinging for quarterbacks, right? Will Levis and... I always blank on the quarterback from Liberty's name.
Oh, Salter.
Malik Willis.
Hayden.
Malik Willis.
Malik, yes. Well, he's in Green Bay now, Well, Tennessee, I mean, here's the deal with them. The way I've looked at this is if you have uncertain quarterbacks at the top of the draft, which we do here, and I like Cam Ward better than Will Levis. I'm not going to say, you know, otherwise there. But you already have an uncertain young quarterback on your roster. I'm not sure that you need to do that again at number one. Especially with, you look at the rest of the situation there in Tennessee, you know, they're further off than probably everybody else up there, including the Giants, including the Jets, including all these. I mean, the Jets especially. The Jets actually have talent. They just need to figure out what they're doing. The Titans are a long way away. And for me, I'm not putting one of these quarterbacks in a situation where the team is a complete mess and he's a rookie and he's got to do it all himself, because I don't think either of them is good enough, you know, to handle all that. And I think that you'd run the risk of breaking them or sort of ruining them before they even had a chance. So if I was Tennessee, I wouldn't do it. I would try to trade the thing, and if nobody wanted to do it, I would take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and I'd move on and look at the quarterback situation next year. That's why I think, and Cleveland, frankly, I think he's in the same boat. I don't think I know Cleveland needs more quarterbacks on the roster, but Watson is stuck there for another year plus. If you take another gamble here like this on a guy that maybe doesn't work out, you're going to be right back in the same situation. Whereas you're not going to be good again this year, next year the class is better, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those two teams at the top could very much justify not doing it, which I think, you know, if there were no trades, I think it would push the guy down to three, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be, like you said, enough teams that, you know, are going to be interested in moving up for Cam that one of those New York teams is going to have to pull the trigger and go do it. I think that feels like what's going to happen here, or maybe at least the favorites to go do it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the Giants, and here's how we'll – you know, transition into talking about Shedeur Sanders. I'm looking at the Giants at three, and I remember being on air after they had the number one overall pick, losing 10 in a row, and I'm like, they've done it. It's right there. It's right there for you to go pick the quarterback of your choosing. And they had to go out and win one home game and beat the Colts, and Drew Locke played the best game we've seen from a Giants quarterback all time. Okay, but now I'm reading what it's going to cost. The 33rd team put out a post, and I also saw Dan Duggan, who comes on my show, writes for The Athletic. Mm-hmm. He wrote, so what might it cost the Giants to move up to the top pick this year? They hold the third overall pick, which is a big help, so you got to give that up. To get that 3,000-point premium, you would probably be looking at giving up the third overall pick and 34th overall pick in this year's draft, along with next year's first-round pick and a third round. So I'm like, all of that to get Cam Ward?
Right.
Then you might as well just stay put and draft Shedeur Sanders. Now, I understand that there's a lot coming out about Shedeur Sanders. He showed up to the combine. He was really icy. His diamonds were dancing on his neck.
Yes, they were.
He was more confident than I've ever seen him. I told the listeners, I follow him and I watch his podcast. He's more subdued. He's more mild-mannered. He almost speaks under his breath. But I guess his dad told him, after all of those years covering the combine at NFL Network, you go in there and you be supremely confident. And they seem like they had some one-liners practice.
Yeah.
I read that he lost his phone. That, like, scouts, the number that he gave out to scouts at the Shrine Bowl, he lost that phone. I also read that, you know, people are perceiving him as arrogant and too cocky, and, like, it is giving him negative marks. I also read that the teams that he's not interested in going to, he kind of half-assed his interviews and didn't really, you know, give his all, I think, in a way to say, like, I'm not really interested, you shouldn't be drafting me. And then, obviously, he put out that he wants to be drafted higher than his dad, and I think his dad was drafted fifth overall.
Yeah, it was top five for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, and so he wants to go top five. What are your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders? It was fifth overall.
Well, I don't think he's going top five. I really don't. I don't know if, and honestly, at this point, like you said, this kid was supposed to go to the Shrine Bowl. He took money from the Shrine Bowl. They got all the Colorado kids in the Shrine Bowl, and then they get there, and he says, I'm not doing it. And then, rather than say, I'm not doing it, he goes and he has his people tell Yahoo that the Jets and the Giants and whoever else and the Browns told him not to work out, which is just ridiculous. He's had, yes, he's had an answer rehearsed for almost everything that we've seen. He's shown nothing this winter or spring. He was 13-12 at Colorado. They did not play anyone of substance. He was a nice player there, and I like Shedeur, and I think he's got a chance, you know, in the league, but this posturing and this whistling through the graveyard, everybody sees through it. And I really think that he missed major opportunities not competing at the Shrine or the Combine. This walking around and acting like you did more than you've actually done is not doing him any favors. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think he's a top 10 pick right now. I don't think he's a top 15 pick right now. I would not be shocked if Shedeur, you know, fell to the bottom of the first round or even out of it, because I just don't know if teams, like we said, I mean, it's already hard enough to justify trading up for a guy like Cam Ward, where we don't know all the, you know, ins and outs of everything that you're going to get from him. There's going to be questions. We probably think he needs a bridge player too. My best case scenario for Shedeur is kind of like Bo Nix, and Bo Nix did not have all these issues. You know what I mean? He didn't lose his phone, you know, during the scouting process. It hasn't been a mess. So Shedeur's not exactly climbing a ladder here, despite what he and his dad are telling everyone. I think most people inside the NFL right now that are talking about quarterbacks are talking about Cam Ward at the top, and then a pretty disappointing group behind him, which, you know, the drop there kind of dips a little more significant even than we thought before the combine. So not a great combine for Shedeur. That was not a great strategy at all. I don't think it paid off, and, you know, we'll see where he goes from there.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate. Like, listening to what you just said and what I added, I have been saying, the Giants went to Colorado. They scouted Shedeur Sanders. He's been rich his whole life. He's been famous these last few years. The bright lights in New York City aren't going to faze him. But now, in my mind, with this regime, Shane and Dable literally making decisions for their lives, that's too big of a decision. That's too big of a potential risk. I don't think they'll take him third overall. Maybe they'll take a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter. But I'm just like, they can't risk it. They can't risk Shedeur Sanders not being NFL ready this year. Even if they do get, you know, a Russell Wilson type or a, you know, whoever in here, like this quarterback has to be it. And we're not sure about Shedeur Sanders. I think he's been an accurate quarterback. I watched a lot of his games, because how could you miss him? They made sure his games were on Fox.
Not a lot,
And he was running for his life. There was no offensive line. I said he's the guy that he's always escaping the pocket, doing that spin-out move and trying to find grass to set his feet, holding the ball forever and chucking it downfield. That is cool in the Pac-12. That doesn't translate to the NFL.
Right, and I think that that's been the disconnect here where, you know, Deion has talked about this for 2.5 years, comparing Shedeur and Travis Hunter like on the same, almost like they're trying to talk it into existence. And, you know, like I've said, Shedeur is a good football player, and I think that he has a chance if he's in the right situation, the right system, given time, you know, given has a good offensive line in front of him with a run game. I think he could do it. I think he'd be a nice player, but that's a lot. You know, that's a lot for a team in the top 10, and I'm not sure that it would work right away. And the other thing you got to remember here, and the thing to factor in, and I know that Deion again has said this isn't going to be an issue, even though he called Shedeur's phone in the middle of his one of his Shrine Bowl interviews, which was like, I've never heard of that before. So he calls in during the middle of the interview. He says he's not going to be an issue for whichever team he goes to, but I mean, let's say that Shedeur goes to the Giants and they're 0-4 with four horrible performances from him. What's the story going to be there? It's going to be a complete mess every single day because he's going to be, you know, one of the most talked about players in the league. So I just, all of the stuff that they have built up around him has done him no favors. They have done him no favors. His team hasn't done him any favors. Deion hasn't done him any favors, and he hasn't done himself any favors. And that's, yeah, it's unfortunate because he is a talented player. And, you know, if he came into this with a little bit more of a humble, you know, like Cam Ward, frankly, I don't think this would have been an issue. Cam Ward did not commit to any All-Star game and didn't back out of one. You know, he didn't say he was going to do anything, and then he didn't. He's played this about how you would want it. He's been pretty quiet and worked. Shedeur has done the opposite. So that's
With the risk and the fear around these two prospects and with all the talk about them not being surefire things, people saying J.J. McCarthy would be drafted ahead of these guys.
Yes.
Right now where we are in the process, Shedeur Sanders needs a hell of a pro day because Ward not being attached to Deion, not coming, like you said, just the humbleness. Cam Ward's not humble. When you watch these videos, their quarterback coach has been putting out,
right.
He talks trash to Shedeur all day. He's not
all
humble. He knows who he is. Yeah. But I think in the regard of like how he's come across here, he's definitely come across humble enough where it's not even close who you take a chance on with a top pick between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. You take the kid that doesn't come with as much baggage.
Right, and the guy that's not rehearsed lines and is just out there being himself. Like, I mean, that's what Cam Ward was doing, is being himself, right? Like, I think for the most part, that's what we've seen. Shedeur, maybe this is himself, but it really does feel rehearsed. It feels pushed and forced and almost like we're trying to make a movie star or something like that. And it's like, you cannot do that in the NFL. And I know that Deion Sanders is one of the greatest players that's ever lived, right? Like maybe top five. And I think that his perspective sometimes gets skewed too. And I think that there's a lot of people that are close to Shedeur Sanders that are just completely on another planet in some of this stuff. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple months because I don't think it's going to go the way they want it to. And he's going to have to buckle down at some point, but I hate saying all this because I don't want to write him off. I don't think he's a bad kid. I think he's getting poor advice, and I don't think that this has been going so well so far.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's the last thing for you. So who's the next guy up? Jackson Dart. I think he turned some heads at the combine. Shedeur came and stuck his neck out for Will Howard from Ohio State because they're saying he had the worst combine performance ever. I'll say something on the record. Like, just from having experience doing a little bit of that combine work and, like, these quarterbacks, and I saw a coach telling, how come they don't have someone snapping the ball? Like, their timing should be...
It's a mess.
Someone's got to at least simulate the snap. Like, a coach, hand the quarterback the ball. Said, all right, hand him the ball. Or kind of underhand, spin the ball and simulate a shotgun snap. Because these guys... One, their timing is off throwing to receivers that they've never met, never worked with. But two, they're a little bit early because they're set up. And they're already in their first step of their drop back before these guys get off the line. So, like, I don't really look at the quarterbacks and say, oh, Will Howard missed all of these guys. He had some terrible throws, but that's a timing thing. And also, he's coming out of Ohio State.
You know, he's
used to having his receivers wide open. But who do you think has made a rise? Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Riley Leonard, Tyler Shuck.
Tyler Shuck and Kyle McCord are two that really interest me. I haven't given up on Jackson Dart yet either, although I'm not as high as some other people are on him. Shuck is, you know, a big dude with better feet than people realize, and he can really, really drive the football down the middle of the field. I mean, he's got, you know, exactly what you want. He wasn't afraid to do it. I think he could surprise some people, you know, but based on where he's picked, I think he could be QB3, although Jalen Milroe and his athleticism, I think, is going to be very tempting for people right up there, and that's going to be something that we'll have to watch. But the other guy there, too, outside of Shuck, would be McCord. You know, he really, really threw the ball well at the Shrine Bowl. He's a five-star athlete. It did not go well for him, obviously, at Ohio State, but he left and had an even better statistical year. He's also really, really smart. I think he's scored well in those IQ tests and stuff like that as well. So Kyle, I think, could be a guy also that surprises people with where he picked. I actually think Kyle McCord will go higher than Will Howard. I would be surprised if Will Howard goes. I've said that kind of all year. I know that people were, gathering around Will Howard as they made that run through the playoff, but I think when you really peel it back and look at it, I think McCord throws a better ball. He's also a decent athlete and, is pretty battle-tested too. So those two guys, Shuck and McCord, are the two that I've liked. I think they've thrown the ball well over the last couple of months in All-Star games as well.
Awesome. Nick, you're the man. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for the time tonight.
Anytime.
888-808-1019. If you would like to add to the conversation we just had, that was Nick Bumgarner, at Nick Bumgarner, BAUMGARDNER, on Twitter. If you would like to check out his work, he writes for The Athletic, covering the NFL and the draft.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter! You can't believe it!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Moving right along here. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're going to talk football, quarterbacks, Jets, Giants, combine, NFL draft right about now. Rocky Island Park on The Fan. Turn it down in the back. Oh, no. Turn it down. Rock.
Yo, what's up, Keith? How you doing, brother? Thanks for taking the call.
Are you on speaker? We're getting a little feedback.
Bluetooth. No, should be good. You hear me?
Okay, yeah, now we're good.
Okay, sorry about that. Thanks for taking my call, but also more importantly, man, you make my hour-and-a-half ride home every day so much better, so I appreciate you. I just wanted to call in regards to, the dilemma in New York sports in regards to the quarterbacks and the draft. You know, everybody, every expert, a novice fan like myself, talk show host, everybody is not confident with the quarterback selection, if you will, in this draft, right? I think Cam Moore is probably the best option, but if you can't move up or you're not willing to give up all the trade picks and move up to get a number one or number two pick, I still think, okay, you want to build a defense. My opinion, just from the Super Bowl, as you saw, I'm sure you watched it, obviously, but, Patrick Mahomes, my opinion, best quarterback in the league. He looked terrible. I mean, getting destroyed the whole game, right? I mean, it's probably one of the worst Super Bowls I've watched in a long time. And the defensive line on the Eagles, I mean, they dominated the game. So I think you're going to see, in my opinion, in the next 5 years or so, more draft picks going to offensive and defensive linemen as opposed to, taking a risk on a quarterback or wide receiver. They don't pan out. I mean, you see it every year. You're giving up, number one, number two picks. And look at Jaylen Daniels. He's better than anybody else. He wasn't top five. Right,
Jaden Daniels was two. Thanks for the call, Rocky. 888-808-1019. He was two, right? Yeah, it was Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. But what did you say? You're supposed to build inside out. You're supposed to build in the trenches first. But we get so enamored by the quarterback. Drafting the quarterback can change your franchise, but you do have to protect them. I just said Caleb Williams. Oh, Caleb Williams, can't miss prospect. Move on from Justin Fields because Caleb Williams is coming. Oh, wow, they draft Rome Odunze, number 9 overall. They go out and get Keenan Allen when they already had DJ Moore. They also go get Swift to be the running back. You know what I'm saying? Like they got all these nice toys for the guy. They didn't prioritize fixing that offensive line. And then who was it? Shane Waldron? And you can draft Caleb Williams. But if you don't have the protection in front of him and you don't have the right play caller or whatever scheming it up, he's neutralized. There's only so much he could do. When you talk about Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, of course I watched the Super Bowl. And that play where he went to his left and he spun out and he was running for his life and he threw on the run in deep in his own territory. That ball that almost got picked by, I think, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and maybe it was Cooper DeJean on that side. It almost got picked and returned to the house. I screamed. I said, Pat, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you thinking? In the biggest game of the year, like, you just committed a cardinal sin. You don't throw that ball late. And then when I went back and looked at the replay after the game, he got his head rocked. He got his bell rung. They tripped him up, and when he went down, he didn't fall properly. And his head snapped against the turf. So I think early on in that Super Bowl, maybe they'll get an interview out of Pat sometime soon. I think he was dazed a little bit, and obviously he was running for his life. They were on solid ground. They didn't have the sketchy turf like they had 2 years ago. And yeah, that defensive line is a monster for the Eagles. You need it. You need it. That's how you beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That's how you beat Patrick Mahomes. That's how you beat any of these guys. And then also a Jalen Hurts, who many of us questioned, myself included, before the playoff run. We're like, is this guy elite? Is this guy good enough? They got Saquon. They got a ridiculous offensive line in front of him. Yeah, well, he turned it on in the Super Bowl again. But when you have that protection, like, he's got all day back there. And he's good. So, yeah, you should see a priority on drafting D tackles, edge rushers, offensive tackles. Like, you know, these can't-miss offensive line prospects, but they're not all can't-miss. We thought Evan Neal coming out of Alabama, like, the joke about Evan Neal is, like, the Giants drafted the one player out of Alabama. All those players that Nick Saban had, all those players that he groomed, the Giants find the one guy. That's a bust. They drafted him, and he can't figure it out. So it's not a lock either. The quarterback changes your franchise. Until you get that right, you don't have anything. And I'll use this time right here before we break. We're getting a bunch of calls, but I do got to speak on Shador. You know, on Instagram, there's an account called Football Forever, and they're the ones that alerted me to a quarterback coach from a team picking in the top seven of the draft criticized Colorado QB Shador Sanders for being arrogant and brash in his team interview. And this was reported by Josina Anderson. And before I read what she had to say, the first thing I thought 5 hours ago, I said, confidence gets confused as arrogance a lot. It depends who you're in front of. It depends who you're talking to. And in this comment section, it's got 483 likes, but it started another conversation around Shador. Now, a quarterback coach from said team, he's not making more money than Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders is coming in with more money on his neck than this quarterback coach made this year. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Shador Sanders is Deion's kid. We've never seen this. Like, we've also never seen, like, this is Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders, like, attacking the combine this way, which I said, like, you know, all those years you saw Deion being the host, looking at 40s and looking at drills, like, he had his son ready. His son came in, you don't want to change your culture, don't get me. You know, I've proven it everywhere I've been. Like, I you know, I'm trying to talk like Shador, like, you know, all of the hate that's coming my way, you must hate the last name. Like, Shador does not talk like that on his podcast and his regular, like, you could tell Deion kind of, they put the battery in his back, like, yo, go out there and be confident.
Yeah, it's, a lot of it, though, that he's asking for this. I think he wants this type of negative reaction, almost as this net, just in case.
So,
right, I honestly think, and again, no one's doubting Shador's skills. We know he's going to be an NFL quarterback, whether he's top 15, bottom 16, whatever, the guy's going to play in the league. But a lot of this is, like, manufactured, you know what, son? Carry my name. We're prime time. Like, I need you to carry that throughout the next X amount of years. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's just going to, like, you know, talk crap and, like, be boisterous and stuff, because he's got to do it on the field or else he's never going to play. But a lot of this, he's bringing on himself here.
I think it's on purpose. When I talk about poker faces and smoke screens, the team that actually wants him is going to go get him. The team that actually wants him is going to draft him. They already know what they need to know about him. He's got 4 years of college film. I think this is a way to deflect some of the other team. And, like, even how I said, there were some media, like, this quarterback coach, we don't know what team he's from, but there was a word out there that Shador was kind of like, you know, he had some of his meetings that he wasn't as locked in on. So according to Josina Anderson, she wrote, according to league sources, The QB coach seems to have an issue with the culture of athletes who have broad fame and financial success before entering the NFL. Their opinions and in their opinions, it appears to them to have a problem with certain athletes. And like what she, and she says, I'll leave it at that. Now, we've never seen a black quarterback come in, projected top five, top 10, whose dad is a Hall of Famer. Their family, they've been rich, they've been flashy, do what they did in college, go to a historically black college, play for 2 years, literally resurrect Jackson State University, Walter Payton School, then dip out, go to a 1-11 Colorado team, have the prime effect hit Boulder, Colorado, where they're making millions in that community. They're bringing Lil Wayne to perform out there. Like, we've never seen this before, and I don't think some people know how to handle it. I don't think some people like it, and that's why I go back to, you know, confidence gets confused as arrogance a lot. He should be confident. He should talk that talk, and he doesn't have to be humble like Cam Ward. He has to be Shedeur Sanders, and I think it's a smokescreen to get where he wants to go. The team that wants to draft him, they're drafting him no matter what comes of his next, you know, pro day and any of this. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.